Our next session is on the miracles of Jesus. And I sort of went back to an old lesson that I did a number of years ago. And I worked it for this, and I may rework it for home. But it was about how the miracles of Jesus display his characteristics and how man's characteristics. So we'll go to John 2 and 1. And the third day there was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firstskins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So the beginning of miracles, John 2, where he turns the water into wine. And you notice that the governor's talking to him about how, you know, most men put out the good stuff and then they serve the bad stuff, because then people are so, I guess the word snozzled would be a good one. So far gone. I think that might have been one of Otis Campbell's words from Andy Griffith. But, you know, they're so drunk, then they don't know. You know, they don't recognize the taste. And the water that Jesus turned into wine was far better wine than what they had at the beginning. So we've got the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus portrayed many things about him. They were proof that he was from God, and the miracles that Jesus performed convinced Nicodemus that he was from God. Let's look at John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But Nicodemus, as Christ is telling him how he must be baptized, he recognizes how that through the things that Jesus had already done, how that he was a man of God. As we look at this, the multitudes were led to believe on Jesus by the miracles which he did. And we'll go into some of these. Men today believe on Jesus because of some of the same miracles. As we read the Bible, and you start reading about the things that Jesus did and the different levels that he could do them, from withering the fig tree to raising Lazarus from the dead. And he did many things that, and these have both been talked about in this meeting, the things that he did help people to believe on him. The miracles of Jesus portray him as a man of pity. A lot of times he performed miracles to relieve people in distress. And, of course, one of the few exceptions was the withering of the fig tree. Matthew 21 and 18, now in the morning he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever, and presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So one of the things that Christ did, he withered the fig tree. He comes on it, it's barren, he's hungry. And he caused it not to make fruit anymore. Matthew 15 and 32 is where he fed the hungry multitudes. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they pain in the way. Sort of feel like these guys that go to Africa see this too. These people that walk, and Ronnie was talking about a guy that hitched a ride with them and went 40 kilometers or so and then still had a long ways to go. Rode 4 days to hear the gospel. And if you're over there and you've got something to eat, you're not going to turn them away. These people, Christ didn't want them to just come and hear him, then pass out before they made it home. And his disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 basketfuls. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. My bifocals and this light and this computer just don't work. So here Christ feeds 4,000 men. Gotta figure maybe a lot of the men were married, it doesn't say. So you're looking at about 4,000 women. And then children. So there's no telling how many people, because we don't have record of it, that Christ fed with the 7 loaves and a few fish. But Christ was all powerful. He was able to do this. You take 7 loaves and a few fish, and you put that between me, Ronnie, and Bill, and it would be gone in a hurry. I pick on them, we pick on each other. But it would be gone in a hurry. Because we can put away the fish and we can put away the bread. And think about Christ fed several thousand people And if you look at this, he had compassion on the people. And that was one of his characteristics. He was compassionate. He opened the eyes of the blind. Matthew 20:29, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O thou Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." You look at this, and they recognize that his lineage was David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Most of the time, Christ's miracles were immediate. You have eye surgery, and a lot of people have their cataracts and are going to have cataracts, and do something with your eyes. You wear patches, you do this to protect your eyes. Christ's healing was immediate. Yeah. He opened their eyes, they could see, and they got up and they started following him. He healed the afflicted, Mark 9:17, and one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but it canst do any. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Once again, he healed the afflicted. He had compassion on him. He raised the widow's son. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much of the people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. of course the mother's going to be sad. Her child has died. And, you know, they ask Jesus to help. He, you know, again, this was immediate. He says, arise, and the young man got up and started talking. He stilled the troubled seas. Remember when Christ went and got in the boat? Here at Mark 4:35, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto him, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Sounded like Christ had a nice, peaceful sleep. Didn't matter what was going on outside. And some of us can do that. I've slept through fire trucks and all this in my neighborhood. It didn't matter. You get in such a peaceful sleep. Christ was in a peaceful sleep. And, of course, he's asking them about their faith. And then they start questioning, you know, what's this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And a lot of these have been spoken about. The tribute money, Matthew 17:24, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast hook and take up the fish that cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. We know tax collectors want their money immediately. We know that those that want tribute money want it immediately. And Christ performed another one of his miracles. Did you go cast out into the sea? First fish you bring in, open his mouth, and there's what you need to pay with. You know, plan something. So as we sort of look at what we've talked about and are talking about, he healed all the sick that came to be healed. He manifested the love of God in the miracles he performed. Because he was manifesting the love of God whenever he raised the dead, whenever he healed the sick, whatever he did. The miracles of Jesus give us a glimpse. And it is a glimpse of his divine power. They were great and astounding, and never before or since has anybody been able to do what Jesus did? Mark 7:36. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And the witness of Jesus, those that witnessed what he did, and you look at the words they said, he hath done all things well. You see people that's got that what you would feel like would be a magic touch. Everything they touch turns to gold and whatever. Christ had that touch that whatever he did, it was perfect. The miracles of Jesus were instantaneous. They came to pass right then. Mark 1:30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately her fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So Peter's wife's mother laying there sick, and they come to Jesus. He takes her by the hand. He lifts her up. And what? Immediately the fever left her. She got up and started waiting on him. Matthew 8:1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So again, they were instantaneous. The exception to the rule was the blind man whose sight was restored. He saw men as trees walking. Mark 8:22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And you play with your eyes and you do them a certain way and you see double. And we probably did that more as kids than we do now as adults. But this guy saw men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town nor tell it to any in the town. You notice a lot of times Christ would tell these people, yeah, I've done this, but don't you go tell anybody. And whether that was to keep more people from coming to him as far as wanting healing, we don't know. And maybe you think about the fact Christ was a compassionate person, but he wasn't looking for personal glory. So, just a thought. The miracles of Jesus were complete and full. There was perfection in the miracles he performed. The slightest imperfection in one single miracle would have raised doubts in the minds of the witnesses. been magnified by the criticism of skeptics. Remember, these people were looking at anything to get back at Jesus. Any flaw that he did would have just made it worse. It would have embarrassed the purpose of the miracle in the first place. The miracles of Jesus were permanent. You know, if you had the leprosy healed, it was forever. You had your sight healed, that was it. We do know that when he raised them from the dead, that later on they did die again. But that wasn't one of these, one thing that would be go against this. But we look at the scripture, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We've all got to face that. The cures of the great physician never had to be done over. The one cure never had a relapse or recurrence of the disease. They were performed for a divine purpose, and only two were destructive in nature. The withering of the fig tree, which we've read about, the drowning of the swine in the sea. Matthew 8:28, when he was come to the other side of the country of Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, and behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Think about it. You've got these two devils, and these two men possessed with devils, and they recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. "Art thou come hither to torment us before time?" And there was a good way off from them, and herd of swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went to the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished into the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told them everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Did they think something was wrong with Jesus at this point? He's cast these devils into swine. He's made them run into the ocean or into the sea. And now they're asking him to leave. So that was another example of the end being destructive. But the nature of Jesus, by nature, was constructive. Matthew 16:18, "And I say unto thee that thou art also Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." You look throughout the Old Testament, and you see the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And Harry talked about the prophecies yesterday. But these prophecies, you know, Christ didn't come to destroy the old law. He came to fulfill those things that were prophesied 1,000 years before and all these other times before. The miracles of Jesus. He restored the lips to those that could not speak in Matthew 9 and 20, 9 and 32, sight to blind eyes, Matthew 20 and 29, hearing to the deaf ear in Mark 7 and 32. He strengthened the withered limbs, Matthew 12 and 10. He restored life to the dead body. And Brad talked about that some yesterday with Lazarus. In John 11, it tells the story of Lazarus. And in verse 35, it shows Jesus showing compassion. And it shows him, as it says, Jesus wept. The miracles of Jesus were restorative, and many Jesus gave back to man that which was lost by reason of the fall of man. He restored speech to lips that could not speak, Matthew 9 and 32. They went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. In conclusion, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, I don't remember where I found this. But it says, the heavens declare the Son of God, the miracles of Jesus, the glory of God's Son. Pity, power, and purpose shine through the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus illuminate the person of whom it was said, he doeth all things well. As I was looking through this, refreshing my memory, and you can do searches on Google even, and what I brought up was like 37 or so miracles that's written in the Bible. And I'm going to put it there, and then I'm going to go to my last slide. John 21 and 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. As we think about the miracles of Jesus, he did a lot of things that were constructive, restorative. And we've got examples to show how he did all these things. To help improve our faith, increase our faith, and to teach us a lesson. But I also want us to think about this verse. And as Jesus taught, and for those years that he taught, think about the different people that came to him probably about every day needing something done. After they see that first miracle, wherever Jesus was and people needed something. And I want you to think about this verse, that if all the things were written, all the books in the world couldn't contain them. He made that big of an impact in the short life that he had here upon this earth.